This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's 3M Open. That's a lot of letters. Sia Nejad is here joining me to break it all down. Hello, Sia.
What's going on? I was just talking to you and Troy about how excited I am. I mean, it's genuine excitement every Monday when pricing comes out, and we get to flirt with the pricing and come up with these awesome teams. And then, of course, the tournament starts and, you know, things might drift away a little bit. But every Monday we get this. I don't care if it's the Open or the 3M. Let's go. It's awesome.
The thing that Daily Fantasy got right is that for 20 years, the best part about your fantasy football league was the draft.
Yes.
Right? That, bar none. The draft. Everybody has hope. It's exciting. You're picking your team. You're filling out your roster spots. It's fun. It's exciting. In traditional fantasy football, you only got that opportunity once a year. The all other things aside, the ability to basically start over and draft every single week, like that's the key. That is the golden ticket. It is what unlocks why I think daily fantasy get such a good review.
And I think when Daily Fantasy first came out, and the beginnings of this were even pre-DraftKings and FanDuel, like 2007 timeframe. I know that because I worked with one of the outfits, a small outfit, prior to those two coming out. But I think people thought it would be a chore to do Daily Fantasy. They were like, I don't want to be bothered every week. And then like, you know, they quickly realized, no, I do want to be bothered every week. This is awesome. I want to have a different go at it every single week. And that's what you get across all sports, of course, but particularly golf, because it's basically year round.
We are live right now. Did you re-X the message that Troy sent out?
No.
Did you see that Twitter is now called X?
Oh,
so I guess we're not tweeting things. We're re-Xing them.
Yeah, it's, you know what's funny about that terminology that was just flew right over my head? I have no idea what all the histrionics were yesterday. Like, should we care about this? Is this a thing?
I mean, I think it's the website is no longer going to be called Twitter. I guess that's a thing.
That's I'm ignorant to this. Is that like really the case? Like, we don't call it Twitter anymore?
Apparently. I mean, I don't know. It's been a pretty like haphazard, you know, rebranding, but if you trust what Elon says, it's not called Twitter anymore. It's called X. And you're gonna send an X and re-X things.
That is, there's just no way that he
I don't know, man.
Is that the terminology? We gotta come up with something, Elon. It's not great.
It's tough scene. Real tough scene. I don't know. It's not great. The TPC Twin Cities will play host to the 3M Open this week. See ya. And we're back, right? We've got the 2 weeks Scotland Open Championship. We are rocking and rolling. We are like at the finish line of the FedEx Cup playoffs at the regular season this week, next week, and then it's the playoffs.
Yeah. And I guess this, we're going to hear this a lot, right? We're going to have questions and like, not just today, but throughout the week about, hey, is this guy super motivated because he's on the outside looking in? And I think Rick, you and I kind of deal with those questions the same exact way, right? I mean, I don't know that Justin Thomas was any less motivated a week ago or 6 weeks ago than he is now, right?
I generally believe if guys could flip a switch, they would flip it much more, much earlier than they normally do.
That's right. Okay. We're on the same page there.
Like, oh, I'll just wait until two events to go, then I'll start playing well. No, I'm pretty sure he's been trying very hard over the course of the last couple of months. Things haven't been going well for him.
I think the moral of that story is it doesn't, like, to the extent people want to ask, like, it doesn't factor in for me that a guy's like teetering. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'd do a tiebreaker, but it would have to be the right golfer who's actually in good form. And if you're in good form, I probably liked you anyway.
TPC Twin Cities. Troy, why don't you share my screen? That'd be splendid. My website, rickrungood.com. Here is the regression model. We've got 4 years of data for the 3M Open. This came onto the schedule at the same time the Rocket Mortgage Classic did. And see, I think the defining feature of this place is the water. There is water everywhere. It comes into play on a lot of the tee shots, a lot of the second shots. There will be someone. It happens every Thursday morning. You wake up. They have already made triple. Mm-hmm. They're already five over, and you're cooked. Happens every year.
It's the worst feeling, and it's why I'm going to be looking at driving accuracy a little bit more than I normally would. You know, obviously we've seen people win here like Cam Champ, who are obviously bombers, and then we've seen, you know, people win here that are, you know, not bombers, or at least top five, top 10 that are not bombers. So I'm definitely, Rick, going to be looking at driving accuracy. Obviously, I look at this very similar stuff, tournament to tournament as well, like weighted tee to green and approach and things of that nature. But for me, I think just being an accurate hitter, particularly off the tee, is going to be pretty important to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? You have to obviously avoid the water. The rough is not super penal. I think that, like, you know, it's weird. Cam Champ, Tony Finau, Matthew Wolff, that's a pretty strong mold of type of golfer that I think is likely to have success around here. It's a par 71, two par fives and two par threes on the backside, just the one par five on the front with the pair of threes. And, you know, Michael Thompson is kind of the outlier in terms of winners, but I do like what you said, you know, looking at the leaderboards as a whole, right? Because that's what this model does. And this model actually doesn't even like driving distance all that much, because while we've got the winners who are bombers, a lot more of golfers, you know, two through 150, when looking at terms of success, like accuracy has actually been more highly or more closely correlated to success.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, a lot of the guys that we'll talk about, or I should say a lot of the guys that I'm going to bring up on this show, I've sort of already vetted that out. I've looked at accuracy. I've looked at distance too, and I try to, like, find the right sort of combination, like in terms of how long they are off the tee. I don't want the super short hitters necessarily, so I'm looking for maybe a touch of length, but it's going to be accuracy that's going to be paramount for me.
And then in terms of field, and we'll obviously discuss the field in a second when I show the cheat sheet, you know, you've got a couple of names at the top in defending champion Tony Finau, Hideki Matsuyama, Cam Young, back from the Open Championship, and then JT we're going to talk about. But it is, I think it's a better 3M Open field than I would have expected. Maybe it's because you've got guys on the outside looking in. I actually think what ended up happening this year that got lost in the entire mix of everything is that the elevated events and the top 70 in the playoffs made the non-elevated events better, and kind of got some of these weaker fields that we probably wouldn't have seen be as strong are stronger. And it's just like kind of the nature of the beast with how the schedule is and the only 70 guys getting into the playoffs. This is a better field than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, I think that the number of people getting into the playoffs is a key element there, because you've got guys like, let's look at the top four. They're all question marks. Maybe not right now. Maybe we have a hot take on one or two of these guys. But my point is, long term, in 2023, at least, like, they are question marks and they're still fighting for points. They're still fighting for position. I mean, Justin Thomas, you know, he's way down there. But Cameron Young, Tony Finau, Sung Jae Im, Hideki Matsuyama, like, all of these guys have had several question marks over this entire season, whether that be injury related or something else, just poor play. So it makes a ton of sense that when you reduce the field that's going to make the FedEx Cup playoffs, guys like this are going to have to play.
All right, well, we're going to talk about names specifically here. We're going to jump into the cheat sheet, look at the golfers, and figure out what we can figure out. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. This is the cheat sheet at rickrungood.com. Four golfers over $10,000. Cam Young, 10-9. Tony Finau, 10-6. Sung J.M. at 10-3. And Hideki Matsuyama at $10,000. All four of those guys played the Open Championship last week. Tony Finau missed the cut. Sia, how do we want to go at the top of the board?
So I don't love any of these guys. I just want to start there because I think a lot of my lineups are going to start in the 9K range. With that said, you know, there's two guys that I'm at least interested in. And I think a lot of builds are going to start with a 10K guy and then a 9K guy. And then you'll be left with probably around 7,500. So then that's when people like to dip into those collection areas, if you will, in the low 7K range and then maybe a mid to high 7K guy. I think that's how the builds are going to go. With that said, you know, you were trying to convince me of Cameron Young last week at the Open Championship. And I got to be honest, in the back of my head, Rick, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I was clearly wrong, right? I mean, you know, he didn't have the best Sunday. And obviously the putting didn't, it went well for a little bit, I thought, but it didn't go well at all overall. But he seemed to be back in large part. So he is the one that's the most intriguing to me. And before we get to the further analysis on Young, I'll just tell you the guy that I like second among these four is probably Hideki.
Yeah, so I always find it interesting when somebody has a really great week, is in contention for the vast majority of a major, and then they play the next week. And the idea of, well, is he tired? Oh, he's coming back from overseas. Did he spend too much of the energy? Does he have anything left in the tank? All that fun stuff. If you remove all of that, you know, what Cam Young did around Royal Liverpool was gained basically 17 strokes ball striking and gave some of that back in the short game, which has kind of been a little bit of his MO as of late. But that's that profile for me is like kind of perfect around TPC Twin Cities. Now, if you want to avoid that because, hey, listen, he might be tired and he's never played here before, and there's another guy in the 10K range that I like more power to you. I think that I'm probably more bullish on Sungjae than you are at 10,300. But the Hideki thing is interesting because he's been, I believe, Sia, significantly better than anybody kind of realizes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a bunch of top five finishes, but it's basically him finishing between 13th and 32nd in every event for 10 straight.
And for the record, when you look at weighted tee to green, and maybe you should back test what I've done already on your site, but if you look at weighted tee to green last 24 rounds, he's number one here. And I think that's when you really want to like factor in weighted tee to green or weighted anything. When you've got some of these lesser fields, you start to see, oh, you know, relative to some of these guys, he's not actually hitting it as poorly as the raw data is suggesting.
Yeah, so the weighted strokes gain stuff gets Hideki to the top of the board because of you know, the fields that he is playing in. But even the raw numbers, he's the third best player in this field over the last 36. He is back on approach. He is the third best player on approach in the last 36. I think I said in my Monday show, like, I was stunned that he finished T13. I don't think I saw a single Hideki Matsuyama shot last week.
Yeah, it's a good point. Maybe early in the tournament, I saw a couple. But yeah, there seemed to be no coverage of him whatsoever.
Yeah, so a bunch of like top 15 finishes as of late. You look at his history around the 3M Open. He had that T7 in 2019 and then a WD in 2022, which I'm pretty sure he like hit a couple in the water on the same hole and peaced out, which kind of Hideki-esque, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, that adds up. That's going to happen from time to time. But yeah, no, I definitely think he's in better form than people think. And for the record, I don't think people are really going to go. They're not going to want to go to him in the 10K range. They'll probably want to go to Cameron Young because they like what they recently saw, and that makes a lot of sense. And then they'll go to Tony Finau because he's just such a household name, former champion, obviously, or I should say last year's champion. So I don't think Deki or Sungjae are going to get a ton of attention.
Our defending champion is Tony Finau. Our defending champion won, what is that, 8-9 starts ago? Since then, not good. However, could I entice you with a little bit of course history? T23, third, T28 win. This isn't doing it for you?
It's not, because I'm trying to get away from course history a little bit. Now, the thing about Finau is he's good enough where he fits into the category of player where I think he can turn it on at any given moment, and therefore he could absolutely win this 3M Open. But yeah, or this 3M Championship. I just don't know that I want to pay for Tony Finau. I mean, I don't hate it, but I just don't, like, I haven't seen anything. Like, look at the stat profile. Like, what are we seeing? Forget about the history just for a second. What are we seeing here that, like, gives us any sort of glimmer of hope?
Nothing. You know, losing multiple strokes with the putter in basically 6 of 7, when that was something that was very strong during his winning run. The fact that he is basically a tour average approach player, when that is something that was very strong during his winning run. The fact that he's kind of driving it just okay. I mean, this is, again, talk about flipping switches. Unless he's going to show up at TPC Twin Cities and just say, oh, I like this place a lot, I'm going to start playing well, I don't necessarily see that in the cards.
I do think he can turn the putter around, because we know he's been a good putter in the past, at least for stretches. And he's putted well here. And these are not the type of greens where bad putters necessarily have really bad putting days. I mean, we've seen that even with Grillo, for example. He's a much better putter now, but back then he wasn't. And he's been pretty great on these greens. Doug Gim's another guy. Last year, I think he was, we'll talk about him later, I think he was T16. And he gained, I think, 4 strokes or something like 4 strokes putting. And that was back when Doug Gim, you know, wasn't putting well either. He typically doesn't putt well, for the record. But yeah, I think he can turn that part around, but I don't want to pay the price here.
The 9K range. Before we get into that, see, I have breaking news.
Ooh.
A tweet is now called a...
No. There's no way.
This is from X's Help Center on how to zeet. How would you pronounce that? Zeet?
Yeah, like Xerox.
Like a xylophone. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I am
zeet and re-zeet.
Disappointed. This is ridiculous.
That's pretty good. All right. The 9K range. Should we just play anyone and everyone who has an X in their name? How many golfers could that be this week?
Ooh.
That's the strokes gained. Ryan Fox. Boom. He's in.
There we go.
I'm not sure we're going to have enough.
Is he the only one?
Russell Knox, Trey Mullinax.
Okay. Nice. Getting somewhere.
Oh boy. Oh, we might be in trouble. That might
no
be
no Xander.
It. No Xander this week. Nobody in the 10K, right?
We could ask Bezedenhout to put an X in his name.
No one would notice. He's got enough letters. Emiliano Grillo, 97. Sepp Straka, 95. Ludwig Åberg, 94. Justin Thomas, Gary Woodland, Steven Yeager, Cam Davis in the 9K range. You teased us by saying that you might start your lineups here. So what do you like so much about this?
Yeah, I like the two guys at the top of the 9K range. I wonder how popular each of them are going to be. I mean, I don't want to invest in a 9,700 Grillo that's going to be like 20%, but I don't know that he's going to get that high, because I think that's really the sentiment of a lot of people. You're looking for the X's. That's fantastic.
There's Max McGreevy. There's exactly 6 of them. Alex Noren, Max McGreevy, Russell Knox, Ryan Fox, Trey Mullinax, Tyson Alexander ships all the money this week.
Wow. All right. Well, let's play that. Tyson Alexander has his work cut out for him, that's for sure. But yeah, so I like Grillo. I mean, obviously he has excellent history here, which I just said, I tend to disregard lately, but you can't disregard it when it's as good as it has been. It's very compelling. And he fits like everything I want to look for in a golfer, like weighted tee to green. The accuracy is there for him. Distance is okay for him. Greens in regulation, he's doing that right. There's really not an argument against him other than he's Emiliano Grillo and he's 9,700. So between him and Straka, for example, I actually feel much more comfortable about Sepp Straka, who I played last week and kind of crushed it in DFS last week. I mean, he's elite approach play. He checks really all the strokes gain metrics boxes. When he's in the competition late on a Sunday, like, he does not buckle. We saw it last week, but we also saw it at the John Deere Classic. Fourth weighted tee to green last 24 rounds here. I mean, this guy is just doing everything right.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. How popular do you think he's going to be?
I think this whole 9K range between Grillo, Straka, and Åberg specifically, I think they're all going to be in like the 15 to 18% range. I don't think any of them are going to be crazy popular.
Okay. So Grillo and Sepp Straka kind of made a run at the end of last week, but Straka is now on kind of a 2-week run. You know, John Deere Classic, he wins, runner-up finish at the Open Championship. Is this fool's gold, or are we getting like good Sepp Straka now?
We're getting good Sepp Straka because, I mean, let's go back a little bit further. Like, T7 at the PGA Championship, that's not nothing. I mean, he made the cut at the Masters, T16 at the Memorial. Like, these are packed fields where not only is he making the cut in large part, but he's top 20-ing them as well. And I just, he's one of those guys where, first of all, the putter's really working for him, but he wasn't that bad of a, I mean, he had some issues, but like, he was gaining with the putter too. But what I love about him is on Sunday, he seems unflappable. He's just one of those guys that I think you can lean into, like, hey, just like Brian Harman last week, he's just not going to buckle on a Sunday. And that's the part I really love, because that's the type of guy that doesn't just get you like in the conversation in DFS. He actually gets you to the finish line.
The rest of this 9K range, there's obviously some good, some bad, some indifferent. I guess we have to talk about Justin Thomas at $9,300 off of another missed cut. Now 4 out of 6, a season to be forgotten for JT, going and adding this event to his calendar because he is desperate, which is not necessarily the type of reason that I like my golfers playing. Are you buying here?
I haven't bought this entire season. I will say this, though. If we have gotten to such a low point with Justin Thomas from a DFS standpoint that, like, nobody's going to play him, I do think that in this field, with these greens specifically, you could see, because I think the Justin Thomas thing is more of a, I mean, I'm just speculating. I think it's more of a confidence thing than anything. And if he gets going, particularly on the greens, and maybe has a nice ball striking day, which, you know, we're not that far removed. Wells Fargo, RBC Heritage, Masters, he was at least okay with the ball striking. And prior to that as well, Valspar, the players. So if he can get some confidence in round one, given what this field composition is, I don't hate playing Justin Thomas, but he would, for me to play him for once, it would have to be like everyone's ignoring him. He's 7%. And then I'd be like, all right, you know, maybe not my main lineup, but I'll definitely pepper him in at that point.
Yeah, I'm probably living in like the Åberg, Cam Davis category. I'm a sucker for Cam Davis, so I don't not necessarily recommend this, but I think there's a couple of decent crossovers for TPC Twin Cities. It's like Twin Cities, Rocket Mortgage. I don't mind Honda. Sepp Straka's won at Honda. Cam Davis has played well at Rocket Mortgage. Obviously, he's won there. Like, that's the type of crossovers that I'm looking for, and I don't think Cam Davis is the worst. And honestly, he's $9,000, which is, it's too much. I don't think he's going to be very popular at all.
I don't think so either. I think he's interesting. I mean, he's such an up or down player, which makes him a pretty good DFS option. You know, I think you could have like a lineup that merges a couple of different things, like Cameron Young and Cameron Davis. And then you go conservative with some of the lesser talented players that have the accuracy that personally I'm looking for. I think you could have lineups with some of the, because Cameron Davis's accuracy, obviously, that's not a good look at 54.2%. But with that said, we've seen guys like that have succeeded here. So I think you could have a blend in your lineups of maybe one or two guys like that have ceiling upside, but then some guys that are like a little bit more conservative, like let's say in that 7K range, for example.
I just go back and keep thinking about Cam Champ winning here. And
yeah, like, I get it.
He just blasted it all over the yard. Just as if you keep it out of the water, you can hit it anywhere else you want. Just keep it dry. Mm-hmm. 8K range. We will get to that. We'll go to the sevens. We'll find some value in the sixes, and we will read off the narrative lineups for the week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
CBS Sunday, after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
And we're back. The $8,000 range starts with Adam Hadwin and JJ Spahn. It goes down to Vincent Norman and Bo Hostler. So, Sia, how can we start to allocate our funds here?
So, I hate this range.
No.
But the guy I love the most is going to be the most chalky guy, and it's not going to be close.
I'm assuming I do not have my finger on the pulse of this. Vincent Norman.
That's a good guess, but give me a second guess because I promise you, you'll be right on your second guess. Can't get this.
I have no idea. Glover?
Lucas Glover. How can you not like Lucas Glover in this field at 8,200, given what we know about him with the ball striking and what the metrics are going to say? Because I think models are going to love him too. Tee to green approach, all of those things. But it's the putter that he's really rebounded with in a big way. And so, like, where are you scared? People want to play the guy that they're like comfortable with, that they think has some win equity. How is Lucas Glover right now, at least from a perception standpoint, how is he not that guy?
Fourth, sixth, and fifth in his last three starts, in which he has been a ball striking magician. He has also well-documented switched to that long broom style putter and is starting to get much more comfortable with it. He is telling us that. And also it is showing up in his statistics. So, okay, yeah, that's a good one. I just forgot about him because I haven't seen him in a while. But yes, he'll be popular.
And yeah, so that's that. You're going to have to make a judgment call there. I mean, I don't want to really guess what his popularity is going to be, but I got to think a lot of builds are going to be 10K guy, 9K guy, and maybe you include Lucas Glover, and then you just swim in those low 7K waters. I don't think that's going to be most builds necessarily, but I'm definitely, if Lucas Glover is going to be, honestly, I'll play Lucas Glover at 18%. Unless he's like 24% or something, at that point I'll be out, but I've got a lot of confidence in this guy right now. So I'm in on Lucas Glover. The only other guy, Rick, that I'll mention, because I don't like this range, is Adam Hadwin. I don't think a ton of people are going to want to play Adam Hadwin. He's just not one of those names that pops to people, but really good history here for whatever that's worth. But he's definitely like lately been doing some things right. So I think he's a guy at 8,900 that's just expensive enough to get ignored. And I might go ahead and take a shot there.
Fourth, sixth, and 38th for Adam Hadwin here. I love this range.
Okay, good. I want to be in the minority here, Rick.
We've got Vincent Norman, who just won Barbasol, finished T25 at Barracuda, and is basically a younger, better Cam Champ, where he just absolutely annihilates the ball and can pile up a bunch of birdies. Like, love that around this place. I don't particularly play Patrick Rogers regularly, but he's coming off a runner-up finish. Actually, I will say this. Patrick Rogers is about to regress very hard back to earth. He had by far his best approach week last week by like six full shots. Now, he's been around for a long time, and outside of that, he's missed like five cuts in a row. Patrick Rogers is about to smash back into earth's surface based on the stats. What else do we have? Mark Hubbard is popping up in everything that I do. Course fit, recent form, the power rankings, history around this place. I think he's got a T16 in the only time he's played it. He's a ball striking nut. He keeps it in play. I will live in the eights. Bo Hostler was in it last week. He's sneaky long, plays well. Like, I love this area.
Yeah, Hostler's interesting. He can be a little erratic too. I think that might be the problem. He is really long off the tee. I mean, I definitely think like that's a good thing for him. I don't know. Bo is fine. I see a lot of these guys really combusting, not just Patrick Rogers. I see maybe Sahith combusting, Keith Mitchell. Mark Hubbard's, he's okay. He didn't really rate out very well in what I looked at, for whatever that's worth, which might not be much. Although weighted approach, he was excellent. I got to give him that. So Hubbard did rate out really well there.
Sahith, I'm worried about. You know, he's missed two cuts in a row. The cut streak finally ended, and then he missed two in a row. He sprays it all over the yard. I think he played too much, honestly. I this is a very, very heavy schedule, and he doesn't have an individual top 25 since Harbortown. I mean, even when he was making cuts, it wasn't particularly pretty. I'm worried about stuff. I think he needs to take a couple weeks off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's fair. I think he's a guy maybe to consider if everybody else thinks that too, because I could see a scenario where at 8,700 in particular, like, I just can't imagine people clicking that button. So we know he has the upside, and because it's a watered down field, and it's a pretty straightforward test. I mean, maybe at you know, if he's 5%, that would be somebody to consider.
The sevens: Aaron Rye, Nikolai Højgaard. Talked about Cam, or excuse me, mentioned Cam Champ, defending or not defending champion, past champion here. Sia, you mentioned Doug Gim. He's at 7,400. Goes down to Kevin Streelman, Dylan Wu, Mac Hughes. So who are some of the names we can start trusting here?
So one name that I don't necessarily trust, but I think his price is interesting, and I would have thought he would have been, I don't know, like 8,600, something like that, is Eric Cole at 7,800. So, elite putter for one. So that's good. I'm not factoring putting a ton. Off the tee has been an issue recently, like accuracy and length. It's not just accuracy, not just length. It's kind of both. But everything else checks out. And if he can just be, like, I almost think this is more of like a discipline thing with Eric Cole. If he can just be a little bit better or just a little bit more disciplined off the tee, he checks every other box, and we know he can go out there and contend on a Sunday. I think that's my favorite part. When you have four guys at the top that all have questions, and when you have a 9K range that's usually a high 7K range, that's when I like to look at Eric Cole, who, again, I would think would be in the mid 8K range, if not the high 8K range, and say, okay, this guy can go get himself a win here.
He's been playing great golf. I mean, he's been piling up decent finishes along the way. Akshay got himself his first victory last week as well. I'll be interested to see what Austin Eckroat does. Remember, he was, you know, the next hot thing for a couple of weeks there, Sia, and then he makes the cut at the Scottish Open, hasn't played since then, and I wonder how many people forgot about him, because he was putting up some pretty incredible numbers. Now, granted, they've fallen off a little bit, but man, I mean, this is like all the upside in the world. A runner-up at Byron Nelson, a T10 at the U.S. Open. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and he still rates out really well. Even in spite of the bad last couple of tournaments, he still rates out really well to me. So I think at 7,500, that's a pretty good bargain too. We're buying low, right? Because not only on his price, but maybe on his ownership too, because of what we've seen lately. But yeah, I'm in on Austin Eckroat.
I will take a flyer on Garrick Higo.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. If I want long, inaccurate drivers who seem to be figuring it out a little bit, I think that's Garrick Higo. T33, T21, T19 in his last three. So I guess we're on pace for like a T17 here this time around. Drives it beautifully. Starting to play with a little bit more confidence. Incredibly volatile, but that's a dart I'm willing to throw.
Yeah, that's fair. So there's three guys I have here. I'll just hit you with one, and I'll see if you hit one of the other two, because these are three guys I've been playing a lot lately, some to my detriment, but mostly it's been positive. Doug Gim, I mentioned, spoiler alert, from a few minutes ago, 7,400. I think this is a great price. I think he's another guy that you could put at, in this field, 7,700, 7,800. And I don't think he's going to get a ton of ownership, although it will be elevated a bit, but checks the weighted tee to green box, accuracy, greens in regulation. He's great there. Actually, last 24 rounds, he's number one, best in the field in greens and regulation. The length is decent. He's not super short. He's certainly not long, but the length is decent. I think Doug Gim's one of those guys that we see with the finishing positions. It hasn't been terrible over the last, you know, few months. I think he's ready to top 10 a tournament.
Yeah, playing much better. I mean, I can give a lot of guys, if you go overseas and if you're an American who goes overseas and doesn't play well at the Scottish and or the Open, I'm pretty much fine with that. Or like, I'm not going to hold that against you when you were piling up great results over here on more traditional PGA Tour style golf course. I mean, that run of good golf he played, basically half, if not more, of those courses were TPCs. And these TPCs are made for PGA Tour players to play target golf, go out there, hit your numbers. Like, I do not care that he missed the cut at the Scottish Open.
And the putter seems to be improving too.
What about Cam Champ? I just think that Cam Champ has never needed form to play well, ever. He's got a little bit right now. T17 at the Barracuda, 11 strokes ball striking. You look at how he played, you know, coming into this event last year, five straight missed cuts, T16, right? I mean, he's done this countless times throughout his career where he just like snaps out of it on a golf course that's good for him. And you have to say TPC Twin Cities is a good course for him, a win and a 16. So that I'm much less confident in. But if I was ever going to play Cam Champ, it would be now and here.
Yeah, I'm not going to play him, but I totally understand why you would. And for the record, his finish at last week at the Barracuda, that's not nothing. I mean, that's, you know, it wasn't a horrific field. It wasn't a good one for obvious reasons, but that's encouraging that he was top 20 there. All right, I've got two more on my list. So I'm going to start with Chez Reavy. I mean, I've probably said his name like 4 or 5 weeks in a row at this point. Continues to make cuts. We've seen some upside with him with the fourth place finish at the Travelers. It's the approach play and the putting and just generally, you know, likely keeping it in the fairway that I like. I mean, he's just kind of one of those boring players that I think you could have an aggressive lineup with aggressive players and throw Chez Reavy in there and maybe be okay. But the putter has regressed a little bit lately, but we saw he went on a run with the putter and he's been on a run with approach. So he's one of those guys that I think you could get a top 25 out of.
Who's the other one? Because I think I'm basically out of guys here.
It's Lee Hodges, another guy I talk about quite a bit. And he wasn't good. And I played him a little bit last week, mind you. But I wasn't surprised when he wasn't very good. I mean, look what he did with his short game, right? I mean, he was not very good off the tee or on approach, but he wasn't terrible. He lost over 6 strokes combined around the green and with the putter. Third tee to green at the 3M in 2022. So know that going in. He's missed 3 out of the last 4 cuts, but he still grades out really well for me. Putter can get hot. Doesn't usually, but it can get hot. And he's gained ball striking in 5 of his last 8 tournaments. So I just think he's one of those guys that kind of gets missed on people's radar. He has one of those boring names and just doesn't really, you know, flash too much. But again, in this field, I think Lee Hodges can do something.
The 6K range starts with Andrew Novak, Chad Ramey, Michael Kim, Adam Long. The middle is Bryce Garnett, Austin Smotherman, Aaron Baddeley. The bottom, the min-priced golfers. Oh, one of our X-Men, Tyson Alexander, Scott Harrington, Kyle Westmoreland. Find me somebody, see you.
Well, Chad Ramey is the first person that came up for me. First of all, he's made 3 cuts in a row. Rates out pretty well. Weighted tee to green, accuracy, greens in regulation. Not super short, so should be able to attack, you know, some of the reachable par fives. He's just one of those guys that can get really hot. So at 6,900, what's that?
5 cuts in a row.
Oh, is it 5 cuts in a row?
5 cuts in a row.
Oh, fair enough. Even better than I thought. I think that would like shock a lot of people. Clearly, it just shocked me because I thought it was just 3. But
he's made 9 of his last 11 cuts. That shocks me.
There you go. I mean, so he's one of those guys I think people think, oh, yeah, play him in showdown. And that might be the play for Chad Ramey. But I think the larger point is he's stringing together 4 rounds on a pretty routine basis at this point. And he happens to rate out pretty well for me as well. So Ramey at 6,900. Adam Long hasn't been good, but the history here is really good. So I think some people will be playing him. I see my guy Carson Young at 6,800. Recent history hasn't been good, but I still think he's okay here. I think at 6,800, I'd probably be willing to take a chance. Lonto Griffin came out. He popped a bit for me. You know, the accuracy is good. Greens in regulation are good for Lonto. And then I got one other name that's really interesting because he's 6,200. Do you want to guess who it is? If you want to play that game? Probably not. It's probably a big 6,200 range, is it?
It's like 8 or 9 golfers.
All right.
So you can guess. I think you are going to say, I have no idea. What would you be looking for? If you like Reavy, do you like Brian Stewart? I don't know if that's it. Could be Andrew Landry. He's like a sneaky guy that pops up. I'm going to go with Landry.
Good guess. It's Satoshi Kodaira. who has missed his last two cuts at the Barracuda and Barbasol, but he doesn't like, he has been making, I think, a few more cuts than people think. The putter can sometimes get hot. Ball striking can sometimes get there. But what I really like about him is I think he's probably going to stay out of trouble. He's accurate. I think his, from an accuracy standpoint on your site, Rick, I believe he was top 10 last 24 rounds, which is not nothing. Their greens and regulation numbers are solid.
It's very
Very accurate. So he's not super short. He's in that kind of too low 290s range. He's just at 6,200. I don't think you need to go down there to make your lineup work, because it's not a situation where we're trying to grab, like last week, like Rory and Scottie Scheffler. But I think Kadira is going to make the cut. That's my call there. And I think he, you know, he's probably not going to do much for you on the weekend, but he's just one of those outliers that I think maybe should be in like the 6,600 range.
I'll give you the flyer of all flyers here. I believe he's $6,500. Frankie Sappin. He is on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's 32nd in their standings. He is in inner circles of like people who go to these events every single week and are like very, very deep in this. They love this guy. He bombs it. He makes a ton of birdies. He's like top 20 in driving distance on the Korn Ferry, top 10 in birdie or better. He's got the 14th on the Korn Ferry a couple weeks ago, fourth the week before that. He's got a couple top 10s. He's all over the yard. He can miss a lot of cuts. He's like a Minnesota kid, which is rare because they don't play a lot of golf year round, but Frankie Sappin, I've heard someone in the know say he's like the favorite to be the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year whenever that happens, maybe next year.
Wow.
Okay. He's very, very highly regarded.
All right. I mean, that's pretty good finishes on the Korn Ferry Tour. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like top 10s or missed cuts, which honestly for $6,500, like great.
I was sure that was pronounced Cap'n, but you seem to be.
Yes, it is not.
All right.
I've made that mistake. Frankie Sappin, C-A-P-A-N, for those just listening.
All right. Troy Merritt did pop up for me. I see him at 6,900. I don't think I'm going to get around to playing him, however. It's really, honestly, for me, it's Chad Ramey. That's my favorite guy. And some of those other guys I might speculate with on like a small end lineup when I'm trying to do something super different at the top of the board. But it's probably Chad Ramey and nobody else in that.
The biggest endorsement for starting the 9K range is the 6K range.
Yeah.
So they don't have to go down there.
Yeah.
I am under the impression we've been getting lots of strokes gain narrative lineups.
A lot. Yeah. More than ever, which I honestly wouldn't have thought that would be the case this long into it, but it feels like it's actually gaining momentum instead of the opposite.
Well, that's great news, because if you like narratives and you like fun, you can submit a lineup based on really anything that you want before the week, and then use the hashtag SG narrative. It's probably not even called a hashtag anymore. It's probably called a hash zeet.
Oh no. Oh no, this is a terrible day.
I'm going to change my website to X Run Good.
Z first cut?
Z first cut. And then if they're good, or they get in time, or they're creative, or they're different, or whatever, Sia and Troy compile them and put them into the show. And then Troy shares them right now so that I can read them. Thank you, Troy. HV3 tracker, which really should be XXX tracker. 3M open. You know what else has 3Ms? Mammoth. Oh. Here's a lineup inspired by other extinct animals. So this is like a woolly mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Got it. Marty Dodo, which I assume is Marty Dow.
Mm-hmm.
Ludwig Saberg Tooth Tiger. Nice. That's good. Sahith Thymegladon. Stegosaurusel Knox. Peter Malnati Rex. And Tricera Tom Hoagie. Wow. Some good knowledge of extinct animals. Are those all extinct? I guess they are.
Yeah.
Okay. That's sad. Oracle says playoff bubble boys. Oh, playoff bubble, boys. Davis Thompson, you better start making some birdies. Absolutely ain't in the top 70, Hodges. Ouch, Lee Hodges. Oh no, this one got me. Garrick, he go home in 2 weeks. Justin needs some more points. Joel Damon in his house watching the Wyndham. That's he doesn't get to play the Wyndham. He doesn't even get to play that. he doesn't even get into the last regular season event. He's got to go home. And just out, not just in the playoffs, Thomas.
Wow. Clever.
It's a lot of negativity, but it's pretty good. Go ahead, Troy. Jason's Garage Gym says 3M open. So here are some things you write on post-it notes. Did you know post-it notes, stickies? That was, I believe, an accidental invention.
I did not know that.
They were trying to do something with adhesive, and the guy made it's just a very light adhesive that doesn't, you know, leave a residue, and it wasn't nearly strong enough for what they were trying to do, and it ended up just being perfect for like household notes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Here are some other things you write on a shopping list. Wow. No, on a post-it note. Luke shopping list. Austin cooking instructions. Justin something important. Tano Goya formation. Nice. Sungjae important task. And Satoshi pass Kadaira.
Luke list withdrew, by the way.
Passcode. Yes, he did. Just
Grayson Murray is now in the field. I hope he gets pricing because I kind of like Grayson Murray.
He's played. He's been good. Ryan, the fantasy bunker, says we head to the Twin Cities, home to the Mall of America. So here are a few of my favorite old school mall stores. Cameron Champion, Champ, right? Mm-hmm. PacSun. JM. SHNM Kim. Toys R Russell Knox. Toys R Us, they don't exist anymore.
No. Closed shop.
None of them.
They're gone.
Damn.
Amazon, man. Amazon took over everything.
Yeah, it's a tough scene. Christian Urban Bezaden Outfitters. Ludwig Aberg Crombie and Fitch. I think that still exists.
It does. But it's still old school. It still qualifies as an old school shop.
Yes. No, I got it. But yeah, because PacSun still exists.
Rick, have you shopped at all of those places in your life? At least once? I have.
Maybe not PacSun. I was not like a cool, like hip kid. Not H&M. I don't think Toys R Us, not Urban Outfitters either. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think I was hip enough for these places. John Marcus. 3M, the number three. Simple. Uno, dos, Trey Mullinex. Three men and a Twaby. You're once, twice, three times a Raimi. Third rock from the sun, Jay. Three's Compa Nico Echeverria. And baby, it's 3 a.m. I must be Lonely Hodges.
Who sings that song, Rick?
Baby, it's 3 a.m. I must be Lonely Hodges. How old is it?
No, it's like 20 years old. Maybe a touch more, like 23 years old. I'm going to ballpark it there.
What genre?
Rock. And the band name has an X in it. Wow, this is fitting.
That should be very helpful.
Yeah, it's the last letter of the first of two words.
That should
game,
be
set,
match, box, 20.
Now we're talking.
Yes. Well done. All right. Congratulations, everyone who submitted your strokes gain narratives. Very fun. Sia, any final thoughts before we get out of here on the 3M Open?
Well, for one, there were a lot more strokes gain narrative lineups. We just can't put them all on here. So everybody that was super creative that didn't make it, come back next week and submit another one. But listen, I'm really excited about this tournament. I think from a pricing standpoint, once you get past the top four, I just think it's just a, like it's all melted into like you got like 40 guys that could you could argue could be different prices. So don't be beholden to the pricing or the ranges. Just make what you think is a good lineup and go from there.
If you want to read the rest of the strokes gain narratives, head on over to X and see if you can find them with a hashtag of a hash zeet of SG narrative. See if you can find it, and we'll see you on X. We'll be zeeting. If you want to zeet at Sia, you can find him at Sia Najad. If you want to zeet at me, you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been First X Cut. See you next time.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am ready.
Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!